Well, good evening. How did I do that? I don't know why I started with evening. Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. It's good to be with you. Welcome to 2021. That was a crazy year. So when we think about what's coming, is it going to be the same or much worse? We have always uncertainty about the times ahead of us. We just don't know what's in store, and there's always good mixed in with the bad. An example of that is the good news that we just heard about Brother Canaan and Sister Sierra expecting a baby. And I myself am going to be a first cousin twice removed, which I'm very excited about. I think that's my relation to the new baby. We can view this time as a threat or as an opportunity. And perhaps some of the activities that were not helping us in our spiritual growth due to lockdown and COVID are no longer available. Maybe some opportunities to be in contact with brethren and sisters have gone, but others have opened up. So there is room for spiritual growth. And as we navigate the obstacles of life, we've not been left without help from our Heavenly Father and our dear Lord Jesus Christ. First and foremost, we have the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's overseeing everything on earth right now. He is keenly interested in us, our ecclesias, and the development and preparation of his bride. And we all have our part to play, but we are just plants in his garden. He is the master gardener, and the angels are his helpers. And since his elevation to glory, approximately 2,000 years ago, the whole of the heavenly host has been placed in the capable hands of the Son. And one of the last things our Lord told his disciples before departing this earth was, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." And those are reassuring words, and we can have confidence that our Lord is orchestrating events to bring about our individual and collective salvation. And he does that with the help of 10,000s of saints, the angels at his command. Hebrews 1:14 tells us they are all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. We also benefit greatly from prayer to know that in spite of the minuteness of our place in the great expanse of the universe, and the greatness of the Father and His Son, they are always close. They're near to us. Acts 17:27 says, "And we should seek the Lord if haply we might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us." Prayer brings us closer to our Father and Jesus and makes them more real in our lives. That is why, in these times, just as in every other, we are told to pray without ceasing. Excuse me. It's getting hot in here. So, despite these wonderful helps undergirding the ship of our lives, it would be a lonely trek were it not for our brothers and sisters in the faith, people whom are struggling along just like us, facing fears or doubts or temptations just like you and I are, people with whom we are bound up with and with whom we are knit together in love, brothers and sisters in Christ, with whom we can share the sweet nectar of God's word, which carries with it the triple blessing of giving and receiving and giving the Father pleasure. In Malachi 3, we read, "Then they that feared Yahweh spake often one to another, and Yahweh hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him, and for them that feared Yahweh and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, says Yahweh of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son that serves him." And so we come to our last great help, the heavenly words that have been preserved for us in scriptures, a well that never runs dry and which can sustain a man and slake his thirst like no other. Many people are lost in this world. They feel there is more to life and search for it. And though they search to the end of the cosmos or into the heart of man or the entertainments of this world, they search in vain if they ignore the word of God. It is then to the words of our Lord Jesus that we now turn. I was trying to think about which of the parables our Lord gave fits best the situation that we find ourselves in today, in this strange twilight world with the coronavirus pandemic. And the one that I keep coming back to is the parable of the sower. So let's jump to Matthew 13, and we'll pick it up halfway through the parable in verse 18. Matthew 13, verse 18. Hear ye therefore the word, the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then comes the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that hears the word and anon with joy receives it, yet he is not root in himself, but endures for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he become unfruitful. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that hears the word and understands it, which also bears fruit and brings forth some 100, some 60, some 30-fold. So we are all plants growing in his field. We are all growing in slightly different circumstances with varying blends and depths of clay and sand and rock and compost in and around us. And we are all competing with thorns and the cares of this life and are threatened by dehydration. And I count just three different soil types in the parable. There's path, stony, and good. And granted, the good can be divided into whether or not there are also thorns. So you can be thorny good or good. So the next time you ask somebody how they are, they may say good. And you can say, well, are you thorny good? Or are you good good? I think it's fair to say that unless we are brand new converts to the salvation in Christ, we are unlikely to be growing on the wayside where the birds will pick us off. So if you're here by your own free will, then you are probably not path. So would you agree that the only remaining threats to our spiritual growth in this parable are lack of roots and thorns? There is perhaps one further hazard. Look carefully at verse 23. The seed on the good ground has to hear and understand and bear fruit. So there are times when, for whatever reason, the plant that looks so promising fails to develop. It gets stuck in the juvenile stage and the fruit doesn't set or falls off. So let's think about each of these issues. What if you just happen to be on the stony ground? Are you done? Well, anybody who's visited the Sierras and paid attention to the ancient trees clinging precariously to the cracks in the cliff will know that huge trees can get by with little root. And growth and development in these circumstances is definitely possible, but spiritual growth will be slowed and you'll need all the help you can get. The tree would prefer, of course, to spread its roots deep into rich, dark soil, but it cannot. The only benefit here is that on these craggy slopes, the thorns struggled too and died off years ago. So the tree only needs sunshine and to get enough water to survive. We don't know if we are this tree. You may find out only if you stopped drinking the nourishing water of life, if you stop doing the daily readings, and it's not worth the risk. So we should keep ourselves constantly topped off. We don't want to water like how I water my garden, my poor bedraggled plants. Nothing for weeks and then a solid drowning. And I wonder why I can't make anything grow or just get one tomato from weeks and weeks of neglect. Water yourself, and if you get the chance, water your brothers or sister just in case they are thirsty and don't even know it. Now let's talk about the thorny issues. Thorns. Our Lord describes them as the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches. Have we got close to where we are in these COVID times? Yes, because whether or not we have riches, we might hanker for them. And whether the cares of this life are from want or abundance, we can be overtaken by them. And so this amazing parable has applied to each brother and sister throughout time. Now, I don't know the answer to how you get by in this modern connected world unscathed by it. The world used to be at a distance and had to be invited into the home. It's now sitting in your pocket, binging at you constantly, crying out like a little baby for your attention. And I get it. We do need digital stuff to get by. Like, we can't do banking without it anymore. Or if you do, it's really tricky. But this is a significant threat to our spiritual health, and we need to do everything we can to stop the weeds and encourage the good growth, which means reducing stuff and gaining mental space to do godly things. So let the sun warm us and make us merciful and kind. Let the light of God's word make us grow fast and strong. We are going to need micronutrients from the soil. So take what you can from spiritual books and classes and keep your soil moist through regular watering. Finally, let us consider that the fruit to ripen properly means the plant must mature properly. And actually, this is age independent. My cousin, who died at the age of 21 from cancer, had a robust faith. His fruit matured early. The master gardener knew what needed to happen to bring his fruit to fruition and what impact that would have on the spiritual development of those close to him. And this brings us to an important point. The job is not done until the plant has brought forth fruit and died. We can never be complacent or take the foot off the gas. Even when we are old, or especially when we are old. My grandmother turned 97 in September. And like Isaac, her eyes are dim. And she would much prefer for her pilgrimage to be over. But maybe her fruit, or the fruit of those around her, needs a little bit more attention. Many of you will know Sister Sierra's grandfather, Brother Tom Hawksworth, a dear friend of mine. He used to be a watermelon farmer. And if you ever got to taste one of Uncle Tom's watermelons, or even a tomato or an apple cucumber that he raised, you'll probably remember it as the tastiest you ever ate. And his trick was to stop watering about a week before harvest and let the natural sugars concentrate. So maybe when you are old and blind and cannot readily read the word of God, it's the gardener at work in your life, perfecting that fruit, making it sweet. When Isaac was old and blind, he thought he was going to die, and he gave his blessing to Jacob. He was 115 years old. He didn't die for another 65 years. But the fruit that he brought forth that day was the best of it all. After learning the subterfuge of Jacob, he realized his mistake in preferring Esau above him and said three words in Hebrew, and forgive my pronunciation, those of you who can actually speak it, Gam Boruch Yiye, which translates in my Bible to be, yea, and he shall be blessed. Yea, and he shall be blessed. And with that confirmation of the blessing, he brought forth sweet fruit and sealed his place in the book of life, as we are told in Hebrews 11, verse 20. So the conclusion of the matter of this, take heart. We are all on a journey, old, young, healthy, infirm, fearful of COVID, don't care about COVID, or ill with COVID. We are created with but one purpose, to bring forth fruit and give glory to the God of heaven and his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, and to him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Let us then do our part to help our gardener. Let us push roots out to be nourished by the water of life. Let us weed the thorns and focus on the things that are eternal. Let us make use of the helps all around us of prayer and fellowship and the word. And let us grow together. We can crowd out the thorns, mature wisely, and bring forth glory to our Heavenly Father and his Son that gave his life in order to call us his own.